Thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos. You're listening to The Mile High Show, episode number 148. All of our episodes are available at milehighshow.com, so check them out. And also look for the Amazon banner. There's a button right there at the bottom, and there's also a link on our support the show page. And what it does is it takes you directly to your Amazon or Amazon Prime login, doesn't cost you anything extra, and you go on and shop away like you normally do, but it lets Amazon know you got there through us, and they give us a little thank you. There's also links for Audible right there and BarkBox. BarkBox is a great spot to go and get treats for your dogs, healthy and delicious treats for your furry four-legged friends. And by using that link and the code MILEHIGH, you can get a free 30-day trial and a free treats. So use that, the BarkBox link and the Audible link right there also. By using the code MILEHIGH at checkout on Audible, you can get a free Audible download, including anything from comedy content, albums, special Audible-only podcasts direct from Audible. It's the Audible exclusive stuff. 180,000 books to choose from, magazine articles, lectures, essays, all kinds of stuff, and you get a free audio download by using the code MILEHIGH at checkout when you use that Audible link right there at milehighshow.com. These are all ways you get free stuff. We get little thank yous from the company, and so use them. Use those links, especially that Amazon one. We need more traffic through that Amazon link. Today's episode, like I said, is 148, and I sat down at Queen's Pizzeria in Mesa with Rob Mabee. He is a Arizona-based comic. Great, interesting story. Great comic, fun guy. I've been wanting to sit down and talk with Rob, and we were a little rushed. I kind of cornered him the other night, kind of last minute, knowing he was going to be performing in Mesa, and asked him if he'd sit down with me just because, I wanted an excuse to sit down and talk with Rob. So we sat down at Queen's Pizzeria. You can find out information about them at queenspizzeria.com. Great food, great atmosphere, great folks working there, had a ball, and recorded this episode with Rob Mabee. He was performing right around the corner at Comedy Off Main Street right there in Mesa. ComedyOffMainStreet.com is where you can find links to their shows and a calendar. A great little theater, seats about 50, I think, 50 or 60 people in there, but very intimate little comedy club. It's brand new, only been on the scene for a couple of months, and they're doing some really good stuff out there from their headliner shows throughout the weekend. They just started this week a Sunday night open mic. So it's a great little spot. They're doing good things for the comedy community in the Phoenix area, and it's a great spot to see some of the best comics in and around Phoenix, as well as headliners that that they're bringing in from the Midwest, Hollywood. There was saw a comic there, Jay Light, a couple of weeks ago, who was he's a comedy store staple. He's a really funny guy. So check out Comedy Off Main Street .com for a listing of their shows and their calendar, and check out queenspizzeria.com. Stop in there. It's a great combo. Grab something to eat, get stuffed, and then go laugh your face off. It's a lot of fun. That little corner near McDonald and Main in Mesa. Great little spot to hang out. Now, my conversation with Rob, like I said, we wanted to sit down for a while, and we were able to take a few minutes and talk before he took the stage at Comedy Off Main Street. This show today is also brought to you by Big Pine Comedy Festival. That is taking place, the third annual, in Flagstaff, September 14th, 15th, and 16th. Rob will be there, as well as many other Arizona-based Comics, Chappelle Lacey. I'm scanning through the listing here. BigPineComedyFestival.com is where you can find a list of all the venues, the shows, the comics, Anwar Newton, Michael Turner, Bill Laskowski, and many, many more from Arizona, as well as nationally headliners, Brant Tobler, Freddie Lockhart, Kay Vaughn, Allison Gill, Marsha Warfield. It's just jam-packed with big names in comedy, both on the national and regional level here in Arizona. So check them out, BigPineComedyFestival.com, September 14th, 15th, and 16th. A listing of all the shows, the stand-up shows, the improv shows, the seminars, the live podcasts that'll be recording right there during the festival. It's going to be a great time. I will be there doing photographs for the festival, like I've done in the past, as well as recording a couple episodes while we're at the festival from different venues and the hotels and stuff. So it's going to be a lot of fun. BigPineComedyFestival.com is where you can find out information on those festival passes and even individual show passes. But you know what? Instead of going up and hitting a show or two, for the same price as like two or three shows, you can get a festival pass for the whole weekend. And that is the way to go. BigPineComedyFestival.com, September 14th, 15th, and 16th. Hopefully we will see you there. And if you show up, you'll be able to see Rob Mabee on stage in and around the festival. He's hosting the open mic on that opening 14th night of the 14th, and he'll be doing snap battles up there. Lots of stuff going on, so sit back, enjoy my conversation with Rob Mabee, and thanks for tuning in. First off, Rob, thanks for making time. I know we're a little we got to get you out of here so you can get on stage. Where are you going to be tonight?
I'm at Comedy off Main Street. It's on McDonald and Main and Mesa. I really love the club. It's ran by a comic. He's just trying to do a thing to help other, you know, local comics. He's bringing in national headliners. It's a small, intimate. It's like 50 people.
Really tiny.
Yeah, it's really tiny, but that's where you see the best shows.
Yeah.
You know? And you're going to see all these people in 600 seat clubs in the next few years. It's better to see them in these small rooms now while you can.
Like you.
Yeah, hopefully.
I like this. How long has he been open? Chris, what's Chris's
Chris,
last name?
Chris Zucker.
Zucker.
He's been open for 2 months now.
Okay,
no.
About
2 months.
It's pretty new.
Yeah.
I was out here, I want to say 3, maybe 4 weeks ago. I saw Bill Laskowski put up a post that he was going to be here. I was going to be down here in the afternoon anyway, so I just extended what I had to do. And when I saw who was coming out, it was somebody I got a chance to meet last February when I was in California, Jay Light.
Yeah, Jay Light's great.
Store. Do you know him at all?
I saw him at the store the first time we went.
Yeah.
But it was more of a like, hey, how you doing? Like, yeah. I don't really know him that well.
No,
But I've seen his act.
Yeah.
It's good.
I didn't see him perform. He's working the door. I was down there with a buddy of mine who works there, and he was kind of giving me the tour. We were hanging out.
Yeah.
And then he had to cut out. So I was like, okay, do I got to leave? He goes, no, stick around. He called Jay over, introduced me. He goes, he can go wherever he wants. So
that's awesome.
It was, I tell you what, two nights worth of being in comedy Mecca, basically.
Yeah. The Comedy Store is my favorite place in the whole world. Justin Tejan, the second time I went out there, took a picture of me standing on the patio by the autograph wall, and I'm drinking a beer, and it's the only picture anyone has of me where I'm actually smiling like a real smile.
Not them fake ones you?
Not the fake ones. This one's just a pure happiness. I didn't even know he was taking it. I was just in a good mood. Every time I walk in there, the energy there is amazing.
When's the first time you've been in there?
2014.
Yeah.
Me, Kevin Elliott, and Mike Dapper went out for a week.
Nice.
And the first night I was there, I won their Sunday night open mic.
Cool.
I had the best set, they said.
Nice.
They gave me a prize that isn't really legal. Which I don't even partake in, so I traded to one of the comics for a bed, because it was two beds, three comics. We're going to alternate. And he was like, if you give me that, you can have the bed for the week. best trade I ever made in my life.
The very first time I stepped foot in the store was in 1982. We were on a vacation in L.A.
Yeah.
Family vacation. We're driving up Sunset, and we were with my aunt. I made her stop. Let me jump out. And then they circled the block, and I was taking a piece. It was the middle of the day.
Yeah.
There was a beer guy bringing in beer. And my memory of it is that patio was way different.
Yeah.
Because I took a picture from that alley between that and, well, whatever it is now. It was the Hyatt.
Yeah, the Hyatt.
Is it still a Hyatt?
Yeah, it's okay. A Hyatt. I think it's still a Hyatt. It's where Steve Lubeckin jumped off the roof.
Yeah, into the ramp. Yeah. And I'm standing there. I take a picture, and some guy sticks his head out. He goes, can I help you? And I said, no, just here on vacation. I'll take a
picture of the comedy store. Yeah.
We want to poke your head in, and they're moving in beer, and so there's a delivery guy. So I walked in that little hallway
with all the portraits. Oh.
And I didn't take any picture in there, but I'm just kind of looking around for just a couple minutes, run out, and then they picked me up. The very next time I was in there was this past February.
Awesome. So it'd been a while. Yeah, when we went the first time, we walked up to the box office. They're like, it's going to be $10. And then Kevin Elliott was like, hey, we're comics. Yeah. And they're like, oh, come with us. You know, and because they treat comics like comics. Funny story. I'm there. I'm watching Pauly Shore on stage. I go outside to have a cigarette. I'm like, yeah, I've seen enough. Like, nothing against Pauly, but you know.
Well, you're soaking up the atmosphere.
Yeah,
you're kind of.
I go out to smoke, and one of the LA comics comes out, and he goes, hey, you're from Arizona, right? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you guys have Stand Up Scottsdale in there, right? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, Howard Hughes owns that. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, Howard Hughes gets on stage every weekend because he owns the place. I'm like, yeah. He goes, that's like Pauly in the Comedy Store. And I was like, oh, okay. He's like, yeah, we've seen it a million times, but we let him do it because he owns the place.
Yeah.
But I love it. It's my favorite place. The Belly Room. We did a set before Roast Battles. Before Roast Battles was on TV, it was packed to the gills. I had a pretty decent set. I felt really good about myself. Yeah. And then I ran into Jeff Ross in the kitchen, and he was like, hey, good set, man. And that made the next six months of me bombing at bars was all worth it because I was like, well, Jeff Ross thinks I'm funny. So.
Yeah. I tell you, when's the last time you've been there?
2015. No.
Okay, well, they
it's
didn't
been
have
about
that,
2 years.
They didn't have that back bar, the bar behind the kitchen?
No.
Okay. This is who I was there with, shout out, because he's not so much a good friend. I know him peripherally. Yeah. He's been on the show a few times. Let me hang out with him at the store, Steve Simone.
Yeah, Steve is amazing, right?
Great guy. He comes through and does House of Comedy. He'll be here in October. I'm bringing a van load of people from Prescott down.
Yeah, I'm actually working House of Comedy October 4th through the 8th. Not with him, but with Chris Frangiola the week before Steve gets here.
Yeah, cool. But the first time, because I've been listening to his comedy for a while and his podcast, Good Times with Steve Simone. And I just, on a lark, sent him an email. Hey, you're coming to Arizona. You know, I'd like to take some pictures of you performing.
Yeah.
Well, he writes me back. Yeah, no problem. I'll set it up at the club. This is a couple of years back. First time I ever met Jonathan Gregory. Same night.
Oh, that's always a fun meeting.
What a mix. Yeah. Jonathan Gregory opening for Steve Simone.
Yeah, that's perfect, though. They're so different.
So I get there, and just on a lark, I bring my gear. I figured I couldn't hurt to ask him. I'll have it with me. And so I'm sitting in the bar of the club. Jonathan comes up, introduces himself. We start talking. Then Simone comes in. We're talking. He introduced, oh, you're the guy. We traded emails, blah, blah, blah. So I'm shooting his show that night. And then after the show, I'm talking to Jonathan about maybe sitting down and doing a podcast. And Steve overhears. He goes, well, you're going to be here tomorrow? And I was staying down here the weekend.
Yeah.
I said, yeah. He goes, bring your stuff. We'll do a show beforehand.
Yeah.
So we met in the bar. He sat and did a podcast.
That's awesome.
I went to San Diego when he recorded it. Anyway, I got a chance to hang out with the guy. So he told me, he goes, you're ever in L.A., hit me up. So when we were out there, I had a job out there. And he goes, meet me in the patio. I take an Uber up, jump out. We immediately go up through the kitchen. Brody Stevens is recording a special for CISO that night.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
So they got a film crew going through there. And we go into that back bar, comics only bar.
Yeah.
So I'm like, can I? He goes, oh, no, you're with me. Come on back. We walk in. Chris D'Elia sitting in the corner. A couple minutes later, I think Jay Larson showed up, a couple other guys. But we're kind of hanging out, just telling Steve. I'm listening to stories, and I'm looking at the bar. And I'm just kind of looking at it while they're talking. And Steve leans over. He goes, you know where this bar is? He goes, this was the bar in Mitzi's house.
Yep.
And they tore it out and brought it
on
here.
On the hill.
He goes, you know how much dope's been laid out on this table?
Yeah, dude.
It was the Robin Williams, Richard Pryor kind
Sam
of night.
Sam Kinison.
It's Kinison, yeah. But, yeah, it was just incredible to go in and feel the energy. And I'm, like I said, between Steve and him letting Jay Light know, I kind of got to float around and check things out.
Yeah, dude, there's history there.
Well, I'm going from the OR into the main room and standing by the bathrooms there in the, in the little hallway. And Bill Berg takes the stage. So for me, watching, being 50 yards from Bill Burr, I'm just blown away. I'm kind of trying to take everything in. Tap on the shoulder, and it's Jay Larson, Crab Feast podcast. And he just taps me on the shoulder. He goes, Bill Burr on stage in the Comedy Store. Isn't this the greatest?
Yeah, dude.
And I looked over. Oh, yeah. Hey, how are you? And just rubbing shoulders with these guys as a civilian, as a non-comic. Yeah. It was kind of surreal to be in that mix.
Yeah, dude, it's a lot of fun. You can me and I was outside the first time we went. I was outside on the patio having a cigarette, and Bobby Lee came out, and he was like, "This girl wants me to take her to a wedding I'm going to in New York. What do you think I should do?" And we just started. And I literally said I'm the worst person to give relationship advice. And then we started talking about the relationship problems I was having at the time, and I was just like, "Oh, like comics are comics everywhere. No, it doesn't matter if you." You were on Mad TV for years, and you're a national headliner. You recognize the other comics, and you're like, there you are. Let's talk about random stuff.
That's something you'll understand going up in a bar in front of five people that don't want to see comedy.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, since we're talking so much about the Comedy Store, the night I did the roast battle, I did a comedy set before they actually started, packed room. The belly room was so full, you couldn't go down the stairs and into the main hallway of the Comedy Store. I get off stage. I'm feeling real good. I step out on the back patio stairway area, and I'm having a cigarette, and Jeremiah Watkins came out. He goes, hey, really good stuff. He's like, how long have you been in L.A.? I'm like, oh, I'm only visiting. He's like, well, if there's anything I can do to help, let me know. And that meant a lot to me, and I just said, can you tell me how to get to the bathroom without going through the crowd? So he showed me that little secret door by the green room in the belly room. It's like black wall. You push it open. Yeah. It's stairs that lead to the kitchen. He showed me that, and I made it to the bathroom, and then when I was coming back up, that's when I ran into Jeff Ross in the kitchen. But shout out to Jeremiah Watkins. He just became a Comedy Store regular.
Paid regular, name on the wall.
Yeah, dude. And
like you could tell he was weekend, right? Yeah.
You could tell he was so happy. Like he posted a picture of him with his like smiling next to the wall. I'm happy for that dude. He's super nice.
Yeah.
He came out and did the very first, literally the worst show ever, out here, him and Dean Del Rey. And he's just a great dude all around.
Yeah. And kind of, been all over the place here, but talking the history and the vibe and that feeling from the Comedy Store going so far back, into the 70s and the legends and the what do you call it? The mythology.
The mythology of the store and what it takes to become a paid regular. And it makes killers. That's all it does.
Well,
you know?
What's amazing that you see, because I listen to a lot of different podcasts and stuff, history, read books about the store, and they all say, well, it's not going to be like that again. Those are the days when anything went, and you never know who was going to be walking through. Now it's a little more corporate. Now for me as a fan, it's still magic.
Yeah.
But when I started, I was thinking about this a few weeks back. Actually, when I left here, Comedy Off Main Street a few weeks ago when Jay Light and Bill were on stage at the same time. I was driving home thinking what was happening at the store in the mid and early 70s before it was the big boom of the 80s.
Yeah.
That's a lot of what's happening in Phoenix now.
Yeah.
What I see anyway from the outsider looking in, because there's these little shows. What's that? Rum Runners.
Yeah, Rum Runners.
Dive Bar, great show.
August 25th, I'm featuring Eric Subcheck, my best friend's headlining. So
I like Eric. He's
a
good guy.
Me too. He was the best man.
At Rum Runners?
Yeah, he was the best man at my wedding. And then as soon as I found out I was getting divorced, he let me sleep on his couch for 2 months. Yeah. Like, he's literally my best friend. That's who I was just texting, actually. Yeah. He's coming by tonight. But yeah, there's so much going on in Phoenix comedy where it just makes me proud to be a part of this scene, because I've gone to other cities, seen the scene they have out there, and no offense to any of them, but we have everybody. There's 600 comics, so not everybody's great.
Yeah.
But we have a good stable of like 40 to 50 comics that are all killers in their own right.
Well, you mentioned so, yourself included.
Thank you.
You're at the top of that comic heap. That well, doesn't, I think sound, I, that I, doesn't I, sound like a compliment, but it is.
Yeah, it's not like a weird movie I'm going to watch later.
But you, Eric, yeah. Mike Enders, Charles
Mike Enders,
Engel.
Mike Turner, Almar Newton.
Turner, yeah.
Andy Steinberg. You name
oh,
it.
Andy's yeah, killer.
Andy's past us at this point. You know, he's always on the road, but good for him, you know. But we have a scene that if people could see what it was like, you know, if people could see the people we have here, they, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's awe-inspiring sometimes.
And that's what I see, because like I said, I've been to right here, right around the corner from Queen's Pizza where we're recording, Comedy Off Main is a tiny little theater that Chris is putting together and getting some really nice names coming through. As well as highlighting and showcasing the local guys like yourself when you're not on the road touring. But then you can hit Rum Runners. You can hit, what's that other one that Jill Bryan does, the Cantina?
Yeah, Dos Gringos.
Yeah.
You can hit Third Space, Monkey Pants. Monkey Pants last night was on fire. And it's most of these are free shows. Rum Runners is going to be a free show.
Yeah.
And you can easily, it's me, Subcheck, James Hohenscheidt, all great comics. And there's other people on the lineup, too. I wouldn't be upset if people pay $10 to see it.
No.
Because it's worth it, you know, but they get it for free.
And that's what I was getting at. This is, you can hit, and I love going there, the Improv in Tempe.
Yeah.
Stand Up Live in Phoenix. Yeah. Comedy Spot in Scottsdale. There's the bigger clubs, which are great, but for me, it's kind of like, you know, live music. You can go to a stadium show. You can go to a big club and see, but nothing like seeing somebody tear it up in a bar.
Yeah, a bar.
And you're 5 feet away.
The best, literally worst show ever. I mentioned it before. It's the show that Mike Turner and Anwar, Chappelle Lacey, and Charles Engel, all great comics, and Dan Thompson, all great comics in their own right. They put this on once a month. It's gone almost 2 years. September's the 2 year anniversary show.
Oh, nice.
180 seats sold out every month.
Where do they hold
it's
that?
It's Valley Bar.
Valley Bar. That's like in the basement.
The basement one. Low ceilings. It's comedy. They mix some sketches in. It's always sketch. It's one sketch that happens between each comic. It continues. It tells like a story each time. It's my favorite show. It's one of the few shows I go to when I'm not on. I know there's no chance I'll get
and
on.
They get not only the top of the local comics,
but headliners from
Brody Stevens was there not that long ago.
Yeah, Brody Stevens was there. We ended up actually he was staying at a friend's house while he was there, and I ended up being way too loud. I think I woke him up, and I felt bad. But yeah, he was there. He crushed. Michael Longfellow, who lives in LA now, came out. It's just we have so many great shows, and if people only knew, like. I'm a comedian. I'm also trying to promote these other shows just so people know, because if we can get the 7 million people we have in the Phoenix metro area to come out to these shows, we could build something really amazing.
Yeah, and like you're saying, seeing these folks working out either new stuff or new themed shows, kind of and straight stand up, some great sketch, Space 55.
Yeah, Space 55 does some awesome stuff.
And seeing the different avenues that comics and comedic writers take, I was unaware that there was so much down here until a few years ago when Bobby Johnson and them started bringing shows up to Prescott, which is how I got to know some of you guys. Then visiting down here going, whoa, there's all this?
Yeah.
And then getting kind of in the loop, and this is where I've seen you most, is with, like, Big Pine Comedy Festival happening September 14th, 15th, and 16th in Flag.
And I'll be there.
You'll be and the headshot I took is right there on the website.
Yeah, it's a great headshot.
And the Bird City, which happens every April.
Usually April 12th through the 15th.
Nope, usually a little earlier than that. Let me tell you how I know that. The last 2 years, it's covered April 8th, which is my wedding anniversary.
And April 10th was the day I proposed to Aaron.
Yes,
and we went to Bird City right after. It was the first night of the festival.
And so I've been down here the last two anniversaries, so that's not making my wife too happy.
Oh, no. Well, it didn't make my wife too happy, obviously.
I want to get a little bit of that. I know you're on time. We got a few more minutes here. I know a little bit about your history just from your act.
Yeah.
But give me a little bit of your bio, because you have had not what one would call a conventional background.
Yeah, I lived in 13 different states by the time I was 9. My dad was a criminal. He was a construction worker, if you ask him. But He rode with a certain motorcycle gang and a motorcycle club. And so we were always getting into stuff. He had a bad gambling problem. We lived a lot of different places. When I was 9, him and my mom separated. He remarried a Mexican lady, stayed in Texas. She straightened him out. Still got the gamble in him, though. And I would go from Texas to Arizona back and forth, living with my mom.
In Arizona? Yeah.
And then when I finally settled down in Arizona, I was 15. Right before my 17th birthday, my mom tells me her and her husband and my stepbrothers and my real brother that live with us were all moving to New York. And I was like, I don't want to move anymore. And I just moved out on my own.
How old were you?
I was 16 and a half.
16?
Yeah. And I just moved. I got my own apartment. Just lived on my
own. Working? Were you
in school? Yeah, I was doing a door-to-door sales job. I was selling the Arizona Republic, and I was making like $1,800 a week. Yeah, I'm really good at sales.
That's when people actually bought newspapers.
Yeah. And we had the best pitch. We say, you pay for Sunday, you get the rest of the week for free. Yeah. I was making money hand over fist. I literally got my own place, went into high school the next day. I dropped out. I went the following day, got my GED. Because I was like, at that point, all school was doing was making me wake up early.
Yeah.
And I was like, I make $1,800 a week. I have my own place. I thought it was the bee's knees. And turns out it just led to me drinking a lot in my apartment.
The bee's knees. That's what happens when you say, hey, try not to swear on a podcast.
Yeah, that's it, because I was going to say something else. I had to edit myself.
So you're selling for the Republic and drinking, being a knucklehead with your buddy?
Yeah, being a knucklehead, doing hallucinogens a lot. And then they wanted to move to Dallas, the company I worked for, and I didn't want to move. And then I sold cars for a little while and just a little bit of everything. I fought a lot. Always had a chip on my shoulder. From like 14 to 25, I fought at least once a week, just random people looking at me. And then I left. I went back to New York. My mom had lived out there. I hadn't seen her in 10 years. I wanted to see what that was like. I went out there. I spent 3 years. I realized nobody knows me out there. I don't have to be like this hard, angry dude.
Fresh start.
Yeah. And I went out there and I was just cracking jokes. I would do it with my really close friends. But anybody else, I always had to be like a tough guy.
Yeah.
You know. So I went out there. I was just cracking jokes with everybody. I was like, I really like doing it. Flew back here. I went and saw Joe Rogan at Stand Up Live. I'd always watch, like, the various hotel rooms we lived in always had Comedy Central HBO, so I'd watch a lot of stand-up comedy. I loved it.
Just since you were a kid?
Yeah, but I thought somebody had to tap you on the shoulder and be like, you're a comic now, you know? But that's not how it works. So Ari Shaffir was opening for Joe Rogan. He went outside to have a cigarette. I went outside to have a cigarette, too. We started BSing.
You and Ari?
I was making fun of a girl that was in the front row that wouldn't shut up while he was on stage, and he was laughing. So I was like, hey, can I ask you a question? He goes, yeah. I was like, you do this joke. I don't even remember the joke now. But I was like, you do it like this. What if you did it like this? And he and he laughed, and he goes, that's great, man. How long have you been a comic for? And I'm like, oh, I'm not a comic. He goes, yeah, you are. You just haven't been on stage yet. And he wrote this website down, badslava.org. It's a list of all the comedy open mics in each city.
Oh,
he's like, find an open mic. 2 weeks later, I showed up at the Hidden House with some material I had wrote.
Hidden House. Are they still around?
No. So that was the first place I ever got on stage. I got hooked instantly.
Let's talk about that first time going up. Did you go by yourself?
Yes. So the actual first time I went up, I went up to Steve Maxwell. The website said it starts at 7. So I got there at 5:30 and I started drinking. The show doesn't actually start till 9, so I was pretty hammered.
Yeah.
Full of confidence. I go up to Steve Maxwell, who's running at the time, and I said, hey, I really want to do this. And he was like, well, it's a book show, but you seem really into it. I'll give you 5 minutes. You know? You'll go at the end. And I was like, I had no idea. I was
at
like,
the end.
Yeah.
So now you got more drinking to do.
Yeah, yeah. And right before I'm about to go on, Chris Bennett walked in. And he goes, this is Chris Bennett.
Show.
Yeah. Mr. Chris Show. Shout out to Chris Bennett. I love him to death. So Steve Maxwell goes, hey, Chris Bennett just showed up from L.A. He's a Phoenix guy. We're going to put him up instead of you. And I was like, all right. And he's like, come back next week. I'll make sure you get a spot. So I go back the next week. He puts me up. He's like, you're going to go up first this time. That way nobody bumps you. I was like, I appreciate it. My first show got a laugh, and it was something dumb. Something about, like, I don't look like the age I am or something, because I was dressing like a child. I was wearing, like, comic book shirts all the time. Very similar to right now. Yeah, and it got a laugh, and the second it got a laugh, I went, in my head, I was like, oh, this is all I'm doing with the rest of my life.
First hit of coke.
Yeah, it was chasing the dragon ever since.
I'm hooked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did that. Steve said he liked my stuff. He told me to come back the next week. I had more stuff. He said, any Wednesday you want to come do my show, even though it's booked, I'll always give you a spot. So my lease was ending. I lived on the west side of Phoenix. my lease ended, I moved next door to the Hidden House, an apartment next to the Hidden House, just so I could walk over there every Wednesday. And that show had been running for 9 years at the time. It closed for a month because the bar got new ownership.
Yeah.
When Steve brought it back, he asked me to co-run it with him. And nice. Me and him ran that for a year together, and then the whole place closed down.
Ah.
So, but that was my first place. And it's all because of Ari Shaffir.
What are you in touch with him at all anymore?
Who, Maxwell?
No, yeah. Ari.
Oh, Ari? Okay, so a year after he gave me that advice, he was at the Improv with Joey Diaz. Mm-hmm. And Pauly Casillas was hosting. And me and Paulie had become friends since then. It was the night before I was doing Tim's Toyota Center in Prescott. Yeah,
where I met you the first time.
So I go to just watch the show because I was like, I need to get out of my head. It was it's an arena. I'd never done an arena. I was scared. So after the show, I go outside to have a cigarette. Dave Kays comes out with me. He's smoking. This guy walks up to Dave and asks him for a cigarette. And another guy walks up to the dude that just bummed the cigarette from us, whispers to him. They both look at me, and the guy goes, I know you. And I was like, oh, he's trying to get a cigarette out of me, you know? I was like, oh, yeah? How do you know me? He goes, your name's Rob Mabee. I'm like, oh, you do know me. He goes, yeah, dude, I saw you at Copper Blues, which was an open mic you used to do. He goes, dude, I love this Obama joke. I don't do it anymore, but it's all about how money changed you as a person. I was like, you know, I've always been broke, so I've always been liberal. They go together. And I was like, in 2008, I was like, yes, we can, you know. And, or I was hoping for change. I was like, do you have any change? I was like, 2012, I was like, yes, we can. And I was like, in 2013, I started making money. And I was like, I would like to see his birth certificate. Yeah. It was my first closer I ever wrote. And so he goes, that Obama joke is really great. And I was like, thanks, man. And then I go inside to talk to Ari because the line had died down. And I walk up and I'm like, hey, I don't know if you remember me. He goes, yeah, Stand Up Live. I told you to do open mic. Did you do it? And I was like, I did. And he goes, how's it going? And I was like, I'm doing an arena tomorrow in Prescott. He goes, really? And I'm like, yeah, I think there's like 800 tickets sold. And he's like, oh, that's amazing. And right when I say that, the guy from outside walks in. He goes, Rob, you're very funny. And he goes, all right, you're not bad either. And Ari looks at me and goes, obviously things are going real well. But I noticed he wasn't talking to me like a fan at that point. We were talking like colleagues because he was like
comics.
Yeah, he was like, what material would he write about normally? Yeah. And we were just talking. And then Pauly came out. And Pauly goes, oh, this is my buddy Rob. And Ari goes, I know. I told him to do comedy. And I was just like, that's awesome. Yeah. And then they had to get ready for the next show. And I haven't talked to him since. Yeah. But seriously, the man changed my life. This is the best thing that ever happened to me.
Nice, nice. Now, on that first go-around, I'm going to go back to the beginning, to the starts. That first go-around, how much prep did you do other than just getting wasted?
So I had two roommates at the time. And we had a little smoking patio at our apartment. And I would go outside, I'd write some jokes, and I'd go outside, and I'd go, Sheldon, come here. And we'd go outside, and I'd go, what do you think about this? And I would tell him, and he would laugh, and then I would just keep talking about the joke, the premise. And what he laughed at after I kept talking, I would write that down, just add it to it. But I was supposed to do 5 minutes. I thought I had 5 minutes. I really had like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Luckily, somebody heckled me, and my natural instincts kicked in, and I just started making fun of her. But if it wasn't for her, I would have had to get off stage real early. Yeah. Like, now I know, I can think about the jokes I'm going to do and go, oh, that's 15 minutes. Yeah. You know, but back then, I was completely unprepared. I thought I had a lot more material than I did. And that's my favorite thing, like the growth. When I first started, I was like, I'll never have 5 minutes. That's so hard to do, you know? And we did this DVD taping for the tour we're going on in January. And I was supposed to do 20 minutes. Each of the comics on the tour is supposed to do 20 minutes. And when I got the light, I was like, oh, I still have like six more minutes left.
Yeah.
And it feels good because I never thought I'd have 10 minutes. And now I'm like, I can do 26 and it's not a problem, you know?
Nice.
Yeah.
There's an open, go back to Queens, Comedy Off Main, open mics on Sundays that they're doing here.
Yeah.
I think they're just starting up, right?
Yeah.
And I picked your brain a little bit when we were out on the patio of, what was that theater in Bisbee?
Flycatcher. Is that, no, what is it called? It's the big theater.
Yeah, the big blue
Stan one. Stanhope and Bert's thing. Yeah.
When we were down there several months ago, you and Eric Baez and a couple others were out there.
Yeah, Ben Anderson.
I was picking your brain a little bit because I, years ago, long time ago, almost 30 years ago, I had done some open mics fairly regular, but not for a long time. I was going like once, twice a week for about 8-9 months.
Yeah.
Same thing though. Obliterated.
Yeah.
I thought I was to a point where, hey, this is pretty good. Maybe I was getting some reaction. I used to record most everything I did on this little micro recorder.
I record everything on my phone.
Well, this is all pre-cell phones back when. We're talking like 88, 89.
Yeah, it was like a Talk Boy. You were using a Talk Boy.
I had the little micro cassette recorders.
Yeah.
Well, then the guy that I was doing this with ended up moving. He was getting some writing gigs in L.A. and stuff, and he was the kind of guy I was hanging out with, the reason I ended up getting on stage very first time. So when he left, I did it a couple more times and never did it again. About 3 years ago, I found a box of micro cassette tapes in my garage. New.
No, not good. Not good at all.
Man. Some of them were like old stuff from work. Some of them were answering machine tapes. And then I found this little bundled together, and it was probably 15 tapes of these shows I did.
Yeah.
The worst bits you've ever. They're just horrible. And I remember at the time thinking, hey, these things are pretty
good. Yeah, you're like, this is so good.
But I've been working on some stuff, and I want to hit some of these open mics down here. I want to do them down here because I don't know anybody down here. And there's really nothing in Phoenix. I mean, in Prescott.
Yeah.
I've gone up and emceed some of my buddies who like bands and shows and stuff, and I've done some stuff. I'm on mic, obviously, for the podcast and radio.
Yeah.
But as far as writing out bits, I haven't done anything. About a year ago, there was a comic coming through who rented out a space and asked me to introduce him.
Yeah.
Just do the, hi, thanks for coming in, turn off your cells, here's his website.
Yeah, here's the rules, give it up for him.
No problem, I'll do that for you. Then he puts on Facebook that I'm opening for him.
Yeah.
And I said, I called him, I said, I'm not opening for you. He goes, can you do like 5 minutes?
Yeah.
I said, you might get three.
Yeah.
So I wrote some stuff up. I get to the show, and he says, hey, can you, and it was only like 30 people there.
Yeah.
And he goes, can you do like 7 or 8?
Oh, well.
I said, he goes, just go, and then I'll give you like when I want you to get off.
Yeah.
And I had put some stuff together, and I listened to it. I recorded, listened to it, and so I was like, it might go all right. Well, I got a couple laughs. This is about a year and a half ago. Got a couple laughs. Then I riffed on some stuff. Went back to what I had prepared. And he's sitting back there laughing. The crowd's laughing. You know, we're having some fun.
Everybody's having a good time.
And it's going, I'm not stepping over my words.
Yeah.
And then I introduce him. He hadn't given me a light yet. So I was just done. I ran out of stuff talking. So I introduce him, go back and sit down. And a buddy of mine was there. I says, did you time me? He goes, yeah. How long was I? I was thinking it might have been like 8-9 minutes. 16 minutes.
Holy crap. Dude.
And I was like, what? I had recorded it, so I listened to it later. And that 16 minutes would have been a good 4 minutes.
Yeah, once you edit it all down.
Yeah, by just stripping out.
Well, the thing is, you lose track of time once you start riffing.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I know how long each joke takes, but you're like, but I did this thing in the middle, and I don't remember what that was. You know, I don't know how long that is.
So I reached out to Chris the other day.
Yeah.
And Comedy Off Main, and asked him about the Sunday open mic, and they're 7-minute sets.
Yeah.
So I figured if I, probably not this weekend, but one of them coming up, if I could, what I think is about 10 minutes, that might be a good 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And then go from there. But I'm thinking about doing
it. You
and
should.
Then the Big Pine has a couple of open mics.
I'm running the one on Thursday night. I'm hosting it.
I may, I don't know. We'll see.
You should also. I run the open mic at House of Comedy on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
In North Phoenix, come by. I'll give you a spot.
Yeah.
They're 5 minutes.
That's like a real club.
Yeah.
How's that going up there?
It's good.
I love that club.
Yeah, we just need to get more people to that club. I love that club too. Shout outs to Matt and Nico and Shannon.
Yeah. Great spot. That's Rick Bronson's club, though.
Yeah, that's Rick. He's going to be in town next week.
Is he still performing, or is he just
running? Yeah, he performs occasionally. Sometimes he'll do a weekend there.
Now, is he mainly out of the Minneapolis?
Minneapolis or Edmonton.
Edmonton, okay. They got a couple. I know Steve Simone really loves those clubs.
Yeah.
I guess because he's a comic running a club, Rick Bronson.
He gets us.
Well, yeah, and it's they treat the comics right. Yeah. It's not, you know, it's
actually,
not your horror stories.
The headliner here at Comedy Off Main is going to be working the Mall of America House of Comedy next week.
Well, plug that. Who is it that you're with
the headliner
tonight?
Is Mike Lester. He's incredibly funny. Look him up, MikeLesterHumor.com.
I'll throw a link in the show notes.
Yeah, please do. He's real funny. I've heard nothing but good things about him from people I know here, from people I know in Minneapolis. They call me, tell me I need to see him. Got the chance to do a little mini show with him last night and hang out, and he's everything everybody says he is. He's a great guy, twisted, very keen sense of humor. Is the nicest word I can think of. He's real dark. He's got a weird hat on. And he's currently waving at me.
Oh, is that him over there?
Yeah, that is him. So I hope he hears this on the podcast. But yeah, come see him.
Plug again, what do you got? You got your Tuesdays at House of Comedy. First off, where do people find you?
You can find me on Facebook, Rob Mabee, M-A-E-B-E, like the girl from Arrested Development. RobMabee.com. Also, I run the Tuesdays at House of Comedy. Rum Runners, 25th. House of Comedy in October. Big Pine, September 14th through the 17th. Altercation Punk Rock Comedy Festival in Austin.
Oh, nice.
27. Yeah. I think I'm just going to hang because I was last minute. So I'm just going to go hang, but we'll see what happens. I'll see if I can get a spot. And that's pretty much it.
And just everywhere there's a mic in
yeah, if you see me somewhere.
Phoenix.
I don't have a huge schedule right now, but.
Well, let's do, and then I know you got to get, so a couple more minutes here. I did want to ask you, and we can kill it if you want. It's up to you.
No.
But you've been on the road. You've been traveling.
Uh-huh.
What led to you wanting to get on the road? We talked a little bit about
I'm getting divorced.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, how long were you guys married?
8 months.
Yeah?
Yeah. It came out of nowhere, and then, you know. Just get on the road.
Just didn't work
out.
Get
the out. Memories. I think she thinks it works out better with somebody that she works with.
But somebody that's not a comic.
Yeah. But it was literally perfect until it wasn't. She told me 2 days before, she said she wanted to separate. 2 days before that, she was like, "You're the best thing that ever happened to me." And I was like, "Thanks." And then all of a sudden, she's like, "You should go spend some time at Subcheck's house. I got to figure my head out." And that was 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And I haven't been back to my house since.
No.
I did see her on Wednesday. Last Wednesday was my birthday.
So are you at least getting like a good 15 minutes out of it?
Yes. Oh, you should come see me just so you can hear me talk about the whole situation. That you're going to hear it tonight. You're going to love it, I think. Yeah. But yeah, no, I write the best when I'm real sad. So I am writing a masterpiece right now. Yeah.
The stories of you growing up. And the trials and tribulations of dealing with your dad, like I said, that's the gist of what I knew of your childhood. So just to hear you have a take on what would almost crush somebody else, and you can flip it to a humorous thing is refreshing to see. So you know, then whatever happens next, we go, hey, Rob's getting a smile out of what he went through.
No matter the bad stuff that happens in my life, I know it's going to make for good material one day. You know? And you have to laugh at the bad stuff, or it'll kill you. You know?
Yeah.
And that's what I do. I can't write about happy stuff. I tried once. All the best stuff is when I go like, oh, this really bothers me. Let me write about it. You know.
So what's on the horizon? What are you looking at? You on stage?
We're
on a, you know, with a mic in your hand, writing.
All I want to do is stand up,
and
then maybe write like a little web series or something.
Yeah.
We're going on tour, the Highway Heroes tour, January 26th. It launches in Bisbee, and
nice.
We're doing 35 states. We're doing 80 shows in 90 days.
Where are you going to be out in Bisbee?
I don't know. We're still trying to lock down the venue.
What a cool town that is!
Yeah, I love it. I just spent last weekend there.
We were just talking about you.
What's up, player?
All right. Well, it looks like we're getting close to stage time. Thanks for sitting down. This was fun.
Of course, dude. Thanks for having me.
We're going to be, again, I want to plug up Big Pine Comedy Festival, September 14th, 15th, and 16th.
Yes.
Is going to be just a dynamite festival. Hillary Hudson, Jack Galvin have been really the driving force behind it.
Yeah.
But with a good staff and a good workforce of local comics.
Yeah, Drift Compatible Productions did a lot of work on it. They're all my buddies. I helped out when I could.
Tell us about the calendar.
Okay, so a bunch of comics got together and they shot sexy pictures of unsexy people. and they made a calendar, and I'm on the cover, and I'm in October. I'm also in July, but I'm more of a background player in that, and June. But October's all mine because I love Halloween. And
what are you wearing?
I'm a pirate. Yeah, a sexy pirate.
I'm trying to pull it up. Big Pine Comedy Festival. What's the website?
BigPineComedyFestival.com.
Okay, go there for your tickets, your festival passes. And one great thing that they're doing... in addition to just the shows that, you know, the great shows, you said you're hosting one of the open mics.
Yeah, and then I'm doing shows. I'm on Snap Battles. I'm doing a lot of shows throughout the whole weekend.
But in addition to the shows, during the day, they're also doing seminars on writing. Brant Tobler will be there doing a seminar on podcasting. There's going to be Enders and Engels, Please Send Nudes recording there.
They're doing seminars on getting booked if you're an aspiring comic. Branding, everything that you need.
So Big
and
Pine,
that's open to the public.
Yeah, BigPineComedyFestival.com. And one of the great things they're doing is festival passes for all Arizona comics.
Yeah.
Can just go to be there and hang out.
Yeah, so. And if you're not a comic and you're going to go just see a show, get the pass. The shows are like $8. The pass is like $20, and you get to see all the shows.
Everything. There's going to be some great names up there. We'll let you go. They're lining up here again. Thanks, Rob.
Of course, appreciate it.
Thank
Anytime.
You. And maybe we'll sit down and talk at Big Pine.
I count on it.
Good deal.
Thanks.
Unborn, unconfirmed, maybe baby brother.
Maybe baby. Maybe baby. That's fun to say. Maybe baby.
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 Come on, baby, let me hear. Heart is blazing like a five-alarm fire, and I don't even give a care. I feel like the world is turning on me. My dreams turn to ashes right in front of my face. I feel so out of place.
Maybe your baby done made some other plan. Maybe your baby done made some other plan.
That could ever do me any good is coming out with my best friend. I feel like I'm slipping deeper, slipping deeper into my shell. And I can't take it. Stuff is scary.
maybe your baby done made some other plans.
Say it again.
Maybe your baby done made some other plans.
Not including a future plan.
Oh,